Afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Thursday, September 28th, 2023. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. I have with me my regular Thursday co-host, Wilhelm Velderhoff. Wilhelm, how are you doing today, brother?
Hey, Richard. Good to be with you. Always nice. I'm okay. I'm good. Good enough. Let's say it like this. I'm back in France. That's a blessing because I was planning to stay way longer in Holland, but I left there after almost 1.5 weeks, actually. It's the shortest stay I ever had in my home country because it's getting more... impossible, really unbearable in a certain way, especially for the radiation and other stuff. And so I just went back, and it's good to be back here in France, although we didn't have electricity and also no internet. Sorry. But I'm now at a friend's house, so all good. I'm happy to be here and with you.
Well, good, good. And yeah, glad to hear that went as well as it could, you know, with the challenges back in your former home there. And as far as, well, what's been in the news cycles, I don't know, is there anything that in your neck of the woods that you'd like to mention? I mean, certainly, you know, we're all constantly dealing with the challenges of this immigration, this weaponized immigration, and we have the war zone in Ukraine. A lot of little side wars they've been trying to start here. You know, we've been hearing about all these skirmishes, potential skirmishes in places like Northern Africa, you know, spinning from this, the Wagner group, for example, that was down there. And now I just heard a Ukrainian, let's see, who was this? Someone from their military, I assume. But we have Ukraine offering to conduct strikes on Syria and Iran to halt drone production. This was from The Guardian on Wednesday, just yesterday. A secretive document, alleged secretive document, I'll say, sent from the Ukrainian government to its Western allies in the G7, which compiles findings from the Iranian-manufactured drones Russia has used in hundreds of attacks on Ukrainian targets. You know, as much as I don't trust Putin as being someone to save us from these, you know, these globalist agendas, you know, these Agenda 21 WEF sort of initiatives, in terms of the Ukrainian war front, that, you know, they clearly are not the aggressor. I don't know. Did you hear anything about developments around there? Do you have any thoughts today on that?
Well, it's always an interesting subject, the role of Iran in the whole geopolitical theater spectacle. And I'm very much always interested in that because I went to Tehran when I was still flying as a commercial airline pilot, have some Iranian friends. So I went to Tehran quite some time, and so I got a sort of feel with the society on an experiential level. But besides that, it's interesting where the country will go. I think there's a whole Iran threat of nuclear war, and they developing nuclear weapons, all that stuff. I think that's just to keep the fear modus on. And because if you see where Iran comes from, or the people in charge over there, they're very much aligned, connected with Russia. I mean, Khamenei, He got his training literally in Moscow at KGB, into KGB. So what is it, university over there, or his training? So, and with Israel, what game are they playing? Because Iran is also in line geographically, of course, with the BRICS countries and the Belt and Road Project, in that where Israel will be coincidentally at the center of it. But Saudi Arabia and Israel is now making peace, so-called fake peace, of course, with their allies or their neighbors like Saudi Arabia. They all are aligned with this project and in bed with these global Zionist, world communist, whatever you want to call it, agenda. And I think Iran will also maybe come, you know, then they say, oh, we have now an agreement with Iran, now we're friends, and blah, blah, blah. And then they also in line, especially geographically, with India, China, Russia, and then center of Africa and the BRICS countries in South America, in embedded as, you know, with this Belt and Road project. So I don't know where it's what's happening. Maybe there was some limited warfare. I mean, war with Iraq, Iran was also real. So real stuff is happening, but we will never know exactly what is happening and what is surfing.
Yes, well, certainly Israel wants to be positioned to continue without missing a beat economically on the world stage with this Eurasian shift and the BRICS countries fomenting further future dominance in global trade. So yeah, it's a tricky matter because Iran is certainly has been and will continue to be one of the originals, when one of the primary components with these BRICS nations.
Yeah, and so, I mean, it is a so-called Jewish-controlled agenda in a certain way, because it fits exactly in also Jewish prophecy. Let's not forget that, because the end-time wars, Gog and Magog war, and also Edom against Ishmael, which is Edom is then the West, which is collapsing and will be destroyed in this end war against Christian Muslims in this whole Magog and Gog war, and then Israel will come out of that as the light of the nations and control the world, blah, 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 blah. That's also the Jewish religious prophecy. So it's not a coincidence, of course, that Israel's at the exact center of this whole Belt and Road project geographically, and that they have made now sort of friends with their enemies suddenly after all this regime change, war, Zionist wars done by America and the West. Who is now the boogeyman, because you cannot say anything or you will be blamed as a racist or this colonial history, and it's just an organic process. Netanyahu actually really said that last week in some talks he did, or he gave a presentation, I don't know where, and he said it's such an amazing time that suddenly now just very spontaneously this new world order is rising. You know, he's really saying this, that the West is sort of collapsing, so they will drop the United States once sucked dry, which is already the case, of course, but they will just destroy them and then have this self-fulfilling prophecy of Edom and the West collapsing. And I mean, it's not so difficult to see, it's in your face actually, but of course this is way beyond comprehension how this is working. We can only focus on what's happening on our homelands, and it's pretty bad. We are being invaded, and people are not saying anything. And if you come up with anything, they say, well, we were these colonializers, and now you have all these revolutions in Central America, and because, yeah, I understand it, they were under our control, blah, 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 blah. It's just a sitting duck massively, especially in Europe.
And so, as far as, well, how things will play out in the conflicts, I mean, it's just, well, the optics of the world stage, you know, are trying to keep a positive spin on Russia, even Russia, the Soviet Union's past. This ridiculous theater display, theatrical display, if you will, in Canada recently is a good illustration of such. I mean, I don't know if you heard about that, where we had this honoring of this SS officer. I mean, an applause, and now suddenly they want to extradite him to Poland, and he's 98 years old. So, you know, one more old man they want to extradite to Poland. I heard Sergei Lavrov at the UN speech he did this past conference this past week. I played the first few minutes of it on Monday on my show. And, you know, he has all of the same New World Order, WEF, Agenda 21 sort of talking points, you know, everything from being pro-climate change, you know, getting a reference to that in there, to, you know, the diversity, equity, inclusion sort of talk. Later makes reference to those Nazis from the past and you know, trying to get us to have sympathy for the well, former Soviet Union for some of what it endured in the past. I think he cited something during World War II, and you know, that combined with this you know, Canadian display of trying to, I don't know, solidify this, you know, of course we have these neo-Nazis, fake Nazis in Ukraine. Like, I call them this because some have been seen at the Wailing Wall. and so, you know, yeah, it's hard to see how they're all that genuine. And yet, I don't know, it almost seems like the entire West is trying to be somehow in the narrative seen as still the bad guy colluding with the same people they were, well, you know, post-World War II, there was Project Paperclip. And so, you know, it's almost just trying to stress that and be like, oh, look, the entire West and, you know, all white countries of Europe and the U.S. basically are still in bed with Nazis. And you know, just so, you know, the war with Putin and Russia as, you know, one more justified war for LGBT rights and a fight against those evil Nazis. Yeah. Once and for all, you know, and basically almost kind of just solidifying further, perhaps, with this transition to Eurasian dominance and BRICS, that maybe there's an anti-white agenda along with that. And it's just, you know, trying to permanently occupy white nations in the future so that this will never happen again, you know. But they want it to seem like it's happening once more, to solidify that notion. That's kind of my working theory on this.
Yeah, well, that's well said. I mean, it's a very sad thing, actually. The status of the whole thing is that this so-called alt-right, or the you know, the alternative movement, whatever they want to call themselves, they are completely aligned and completely hating our own countries and talk about our colonialization, and they're just worshiping China and Russia. It's just ridiculous. Sometimes I watch certain you know, alternative channels, and then they speak as if China is great, and that's, you know, it's just ridiculous, and it's completely facilitating or neutralizing some kind of form of resistance. Although I think the real resistance is not in a visible realm, for that matter. But yeah, I mean, Putin always presents position, Russia positions themselves always in the role of this Nazi fighter, like the Second World War. And most people, the society is so polarized now that you have either Nazis or you have the good guys, or anybody who's just resisting any official narrative in what way, with good arguments or not, doesn't matter, then you're a Nazi. So this whole, you know, Putin fighting the Nazis in Ukraine is a perfect yeah, tool as well, so for psychological warfare as well, because this the alternative movement, especially, who are, we have to sort of trust more as the mainstream, but they're doing exactly the same thing in another way. So yeah, it's completely anti-white. I mean, Putin said once that the whole Western society is just completely based on racism, and then he quotes Colin Powell, because in some sentences after that, as an example of this, that he was complaining about racism when he, you know, it's just obvious. But most people still need a good guy or a bad guy or some savior from religion or not, and that's sad. It's because it's a waste of energy. That's why it's sad.
It is. No, it really is. I mean, so if patriots in the United States, who, of course, we have the most freedoms, more than our brothers like yourself in Europe, because of just the amount of free speech, which has at least been implied in the past in this country, and, well, our right to bear arms, quite frankly. And for people, patriots in this country, who value such things highest, to believe that Putin is on their side, that possibly all of BRICS is ultimately on their side, fighting this push for you know, Agenda 21 globalism. You know, they maybe don't have to fight themselves. They can relax and cheer for BRICS. You know, and I don't know. I think while it's still useful for mainstream news, corporate media absorbing normies, so-called normies in the U.S., you know, even a lot of Trump supporters, but who don't really look into independent media, they're not too clued in. And so it's important. So the social engineering for them to be, you know, that Putin, that Russia is bad. They're interfering with our elections, trying to get that evil Trump elected again and all of this. And so it's like Hillary is out there claiming, and that Elon Musk and Twitter are trying to help get, you know, corrupted elections for Trump to win, and Russia's in on it. It's just ridiculous. But that's what they're spinning for them. And also demonizing China works for a lot of people who don't want to, well, on a lot of agendas, even COVID, we hear, you know, Natural News, Mike Adams. You know, he doesn't want to name certain other groups and tribes. So, you know, China is a perfect scapegoat for anyone who, it's kind of the one exception, you know, where you can demonize a race and you're not racist. If it's China right now, it's okay, I guess. So there's that. but then for the patriots, the people who do look into independent media, keep up with things, our listeners, people like ourselves, they want the opposite. They don't want you to see Russia as a bad guy. You know, they want you to see that they will take care of it for you, and you can sit back and relax.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, and as well, it's all kosher. That's another thing, because these conservative channels where now you hear people, oh, this is guy in Argentina, he says really in a great matter how the left works, how the leftism is a mental disease, blah, 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 which is true. But he's completely kosher. Nobody mentions Israel or the Jewish power, Jewish dominance in certain sections of the society. That's, of course... But that's probably a coincidence that these people don't talk about this group of the whole agenda. Some people do, of course, but they are, you know, Nazis probably. It keeps you busy. It's a fake dialectic and for both sides, and it doesn't go anywhere. Although it's a sort of release for a certain confirmation biased belief systems, and then you hear your whatever you want to hear. But it doesn't have to do anything with the truth, or it gives you some assets in a certain way where you can do something with it in a strategical way. So this thing online and it's very useful, of course, at the same time in a certain way. But it's also a sort of trap, and it divides us. And we are in Europe, like you say, we are really like sitting duck societies in a certain way. In France is less, because you have this tribal history, which you can still feel. And that's why I want to be here. You have these farmers, and they just are at their place, and they just want to be left alone, and they don't trust anything from the outside, which in the beginning I didn't sort of like, because but now I really like it, because if you have a problem, they're there, you know. So it's good to look for that kind of, and they don't look on all this stuff probably, because they're at work. You know, it's something like work on the land.
Yes, reminds me of that meme people were putting around. Why aren't the Amish getting COVID? Because they don't have television, and they're busy working and just taking care of themselves.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
All right.
No, so that's. That's good to be in that environment.
Too soon. The music, sir. We'll be right back, folks. Stick around.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey with my Thursday co-host Wilhelm Felderhoff. And well, I'm glad that you see it too. This anti-white implication coming from Russia, Wilhelm, that I'm not being completely gaslit here, because everyone around me loves Putin right now. And, and do I belong in a straitjacket or something? No, I don't really think I do. But yeah, the start of that speech, I mean, Lavrov was just totally bashing the United States in Europe as, you know, for the longest time, being the source of all of the world's woes, basically. And I mean, it was all but saying white people. There is a bit of, an Asian component in much of, some... a percentage of the Russian people. I don't know if, they kind of think of themselves as their own thing, Russians. I'm not even sure they think of themselves as white, if I were to venture so far. I'll even say that. Well, how would you respond to that, Wilhelm?
Yeah, it's, Russia is very multicultural. I mean, under Putin, there were more than 4,000 mosques were built in the Russian Federation or only in Russia. But, yeah, and that's true. They speak very graciously, so it makes it, they sort of present themselves as being the moral people. But it's totally hypocrite. Obviously, Putin is worshipping and often honoring on a yearly basis the Red Army, who had liberated Europe. And we know the contrary is the truth, of course. They never mentions the German suffering, who suffered the most. But let alone the behavior of the Red Army in Germany. But he's literally worshiping them and referring to it, the Red Army. He's ignoring this Holodomor, what happened in Ukraine. He's always very much fanatically supporting the Holocaust memory and musea and with laws and whatever more. So But again, the sad thing is that the alt media falls for it, and a lot of Christians falling for this so-called moral good guy, you know, so because of their religion and what more. So it's in your face. It's, and there's no savior, whether it's Trump or on this side or the other side. It's all in the visible realm, and that's just made for that, the visible realm, so that we can see it, so that it can divide us and distract us from the real important things in our life.
And you made a lot of great points about Israel in the first segment, how, you know, they're ready for the Eurasian shift, the transition to BRICS global dominance. They're going to continue sucking the U.S. dry until then, and always have, you know, some of their people who are living here, no matter what the future's like for us in America and Europe. But
yeah, most white European citizens are liberals, have a sort of liberal mindset. So they are sort of falling for this and also have this fake white guilt syndrome. And so the West will fall, is falling as we speak. And then they will say, so well, they, now it's our turn because of this colonial white suppression of the world. And so they will not say, and Israel will drop United States whenever they want, of course. That's what they're openly saying, actually, some of them. And a lot of rabbis are openly saying this. But so, yeah, the sad thing is that they have this sitting duck mentality, especially here in Europe. I mean, we don't have a Second Amendment. That's another thing. We thought it was a good idea to give the monopolistic control over violence to something like government. Well, that works out good.
Yes. And as I mean, we've had a problem for the longest time over here, of course, of the dual Israeli / U.S. citizens in political positions in particular, which has been something that we've needed to get rid of for a long time. But it's not like you could still be loyal to a people and ideology other than what it is to be an American without even having that. So, you know, I mean, and it's kind of similar to McCarthyism. Sure, it was helping in some ways, but it wasn't being sure to root out all sources of this network and their internationalist agendas. But no, now it's amazing what we have developing. I have this in front of me at Zero Hedge website. U.S. admits Israel into visa waiver program in major upgrade to ties. The Netanyahu government has just pulled off a major diplomatic victory, reaching a long time goal toward upgrading U.S.-Israel relations. Wow. I thought they were already at the peak. I didn't know they could get any higher. I guess we'll have to continue the story on the other side, Wilhelm, but I don't know. It's just too much sometimes. Folks, please remember to support the Republic Broadcasting Network. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on that donate button. Plenty of methods available. Stick around. We'll be right back.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit
blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Be a sin to interrupt Brian Eno too abruptly. And we're back, folks, here on Beyond the Official Narrative on Republic Broadcasting Network. Richard Carey with my Thursday co-host Wilhelm Felderhoff. And we're talking about this article from Zero Hedge. U.S. admits Israel into visa waiver program in major upgrade to ties. The U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas has agreed to Israel's entry into the U.S. visa waiver program, which means that for the first time, Israeli citizens will be able to travel to the United States visa-free. It will take effect November 30th, according to U.S. officials. Quote, the designation of Israel into the visa waiver program is an important recognition of our shared security interests and the close cooperation between our two countries, unquote. Mayorkas said in Wednesday statement confirming Israel's upgraded status. And Secretary of State Antony Blinken hailed the designation as, quote, a critical step forward, unquote, in the U.S. strategic partnership with Israel, quote, that will further strengthen longstanding people-to-people engagement, economic cooperation and security coordination between our two countries, unquote, as quoted in Axios. Quote, this important achievement will enhance freedom of movement for U.S. citizens, including those living in the Palestinian territories or traveling to and from them, unquote. He added in reference to reciprocity. Israel will now allow U.S. passport holders visa-free travel in return, including theoretically Palestinian Americans. However, Arab groups and Palestinian activists have charged that Israel has failed to change its entry policies and practice, and that it will still discriminate against Palestinians, even if they are U.S. citizens, according to Al Jazeera It confirms that, blah, blah, blah. This significant step in U.S.-Israel relations comes after last week President Biden and PM Netanyahu met on the sidelines of the U.N. General Assembly in New York. Relations have been on the rocks given the controversial judicial reform initiative in Israel and the fact that Netanyahu was never invited to the White House after being sworn in again as prime minister. Netanyahu took it as a personal affront, but this visa waiver program upgrade is being seen as a breakthrough. And yeah, I mean, Trump was very friendly with Netanyahu and Biden. We heard not so much. I heard there was a bit more resistance from Obama, but that's because of his Muslim background. So, you know, you can't win, Willem. Your feedback.
Yeah, well, you can't win. No, it's just ridiculous. It's also in line with the ceremony Trump gave, where Trump gave the keys of the White House to Netanyahu in a sort of weird ceremony way. He gave literally the keys to the best friend of the United States. I mean, this is just, we're talking about, I mean, most people, there are a lot of high officials in the Biden administration, almost 500 who are Jewish themselves. So they for them, it's, I can understand that they think this is great and this will help and they are in this mindset. But there are a lot of Americans who also have this pathetic allegiance or this loyalty and this just dwelling with Israel. I remember this creature, Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi was some time ago. She said, well, is the United States being destroyed or a nuclear bomb falls on, I don't know what she says, something in the line of that. If everything is just gone, one thing will stand, and that's our loyalty to our best friend in the Middle East, Israel, something like that. Ah. We're talking about Stockholm syndrome to the extreme, wow. Literally. It's remarkable. It's really remarkable.
Wow.
And then you got to applaud us. You got to applause. You know, big applause. But maybe you will speak in APAC, something like that. But it's just... It's just remarkable on a psychological level. Same in Holland. You don't mention that. You don't mention it. Israel is a democracy. We think that they have the experience. They're always being attacked. So let's give them the monopolistic control over the world, cybersecurity and surveillance. That would be a really good idea. So let's see where that will go.
Well, talk about a hyperbolic slap in the face with a statement like that from Pelosi, just so ridiculous. And, you know, I think I won't just say blah, blah, blah to the Al Jazeera excerpt. Actually, I'm going to read this because it's very relevant. The hypocrisy, a Biden administration and the people pulling his strings, these globalists who are set on a Kalergi plan and, you know, are just trying to just completely decimate the Western culture in America with this replacement immigration. And yet we see how the Biden administration embraces what's going on in Israel in fomenting as we speak, you know. So as Al Jazeera reported, on Tuesday, the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee, ADC, said it had filed a lawsuit against Israel's VWP designation. Quote, credible reports and ADC's own investigations have shown that Israel failed to meet all of the legal requirements for admission, unquote, the group said. Abed Ayoub, the ADC's executive director, told Al Jazeera earlier this week that by letting Israel into the program, the Biden administration, quote, has endorsed and embraced Israel's discrimination and apartheid, unquote. Quote, with this decision, the U.S. government will be sending a message that not all American passport holders are equal, unquote, Ayoub said. So, you know, it's okay to endorse apartheid and stricter racial sort of controls for the populace in Israel while over here, open borders, nonstop immigration, you know, bragging back when he was still Vice President Biden about how, you know, we're on the threshold of whites being a minority in this country. And that's just so wonderful. It's our strength. I mean, you know, just such a ridiculous double standard, Willem. And so, but yeah, that's the clown world we're living in.
It is. And it's a projection. I mean, the whole religion of so-called religion of the illusion that's called Judaism is based on the idea that there is some form of God who thought, I'm going to choose you as the special people. I mean, this whole thing where the whole Torah is based on this whole belief system, that creates apartheid and racism, of course. Well, racism, I think all races are racist, for that matter. I mean, it's a ridiculous term, but I think it's especially this Jewish supremacy racist idea that they are the chosen ones. It's bringing them this so-called power, which is going to collapse again. Of course, it's always collapsed. That's the history as well. But you have to give them some slack for that. I mean, the white people don't think like this. But I think a lot of people are starting to see it, of course, that's happening, although things are way too late, but it's never too late. And because it's going to lead to more, you know, tyranny and more crisis things and climate emergencies, whatever. But I think there is a lot of people starting to speak out and losing the fear to speak out as well. I think that's happening here and there. I don't know exactly, but that will be good.
As far as other news, well, regarding Ukraine, we even heard reported on CNN, they cited Ukrainian military sources saying that Wagner fighters have been redeployed to the battlefield in Ukraine, but this time under the Russian Defense Ministry. And in other news, I mean, we've had the Biden impeachment inquiry kick off over here. Allegedly, a big drop of new damning documents. They're saying like far more as far as the Hunter Biden / Joe Biden scandal, pay to play, like the Burisma whole thing, you know. And it's just kind of like corporate political collusion in a sense, kind of related to the insider trading thing. Was it Pelosi or Warren, maybe I'm mistaken, who was speaking about how they approve that being clamped down on in future. Of course, they already made so much in their lifetime from insider trading as a career politician. But no, back to my original point there about the Biden thing. I mean, I don't know. It just seems like there's just so much to distract from whenever they bring up more the Biden or Trump side of things. I don't really think anything will come against Biden because he's playing ball so well with things. But at the same time, it seems like they might not even want him for another term as a puppet figurehead.
Want another, maybe fresher puppet.
Yeah. So, we have. What's that?
Maybe they're going to use a sort of a stronger puppet who looks very strong and who's very patriotic, you know, who's gonna be a real leader. I think that's maybe it happens. Or they're going to continue with it's just an absurd spectacle of ridiculous things, this Biden theater and figures like Pelosi or these people are completely, I don't know what it is, what they are actually. It's also a question, I mean, how they operate. And it's ridiculous, really.
Mm-hmm. People were talking about that California governor, Gavin Newsom. I don't know, but I think Hillary Clinton still has a better shot than him. You know, is she seen as patriotic to people who drink the Kool-Aid? I'm not sure. But
well, maybe she goes to Russia then she will say, we came, we won, and he died.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't really talk about how he died, but she's certainly proud of what she represents. And that just tells a lot right there alone. I mean, but, you know, yeah, I don't know if anything at all will come of this, especially with the whole Biden thing.
Well, and you know, it's falling apart. We have elections in Holland coming up next month. And you see the whole political arena is sort of fragmenting. It's falling apart, literally. And people see that. And that was also documented and sort of not planned. I don't know how to say it. But that people will, at the end, lose complete trust in anything, actually, in everything, and the political scenes will collapse. And that's really what's happening, what we're seeing. It's absurd theater, and will cause more unrest, and because people lose their faith. I don't know how many people still vote, but it's literally fragmenting in our face. Scandal over scandal, people attacking each other, and it's just people see that, of course. So they will say, oh, they don't have anything to go anymore, because that's the only place to go for a lot of people to vote.
We have a caller on the line, Charles in St. Petersburg, Florida. Charles.
Yeah, Richard, and your guest.
Wilhelm.
Yeah, I was mentioning, yeah, Wilhelm. Netanyahu is part of the Likud block. I wonder if they're going towards a open dictatorship, you know, no democracy, you know, the settler party, the Itamar Ben-Gvir is ahead of, it's more radical than the Likud in Israel. It's called, I think, Jewish Power in Hebrew. It's forget what it is, but it's a successor to the settlers to Rabbi Kahana's, Meir Kahana's political party. I don't wonder if you have anything to say about that. You know, he in Israel. Mm-hmm. You know, they're heading towards an open dictatorship, kind of a Jewish fascist dictatorship.
Well, yes, I'm sure Wilhelm will have some feedback for you.
Well, yeah, it's interesting what you bring up there. I think it's good to see how what happened during COVID in Israel, because Israel was completely sort of shut down, had this really strict policies with vaccines and QR codes and green zones and all that stuff. I think within the Jewish community, there are also a lot of people who don't want this stuff, or they see what's happening. But to see that country, just like Australia or Canada, they were really in, although I don't know what happened there with the vaccines and anything like that, but they have had this tyrannical thing in place there if it's needed. So, yeah, I agree that can go there, because I think it's to control that part of the society who doesn't want this. And it's also sort of, how do you want to call it, waking up or resisting this?
Charles?
It's kind of hard for me to hear on this cell phone. I couldn't,
okay, well,
couldn't
no,
hear
I mean,
very
you,
well.
Okay, well, no, I mean, Wilhelm was pretty much agreeing with you there. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah,
go ahead.
The rejectionist that was followers of Zev Jabotinsky during the World War II in 1948, they were not at all communists or socialists, more like populists or Jewish fascists. Irgun was part of that, but I think they're going to abandon democracy. Netanyahu is getting more and more radical because of the settlers' party. Yeah, well, that's what I just wanted to point out to people.
Okay, all right. No, thanks for that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your call as always. Wilhelm, would you like to respond to that second part? Charles added.
Well, yeah, I agree what he's saying, this tyrannical aspect that is gearing towards more tyranny, and it's in the overall picture, is that the case in every country, so also in Israel, yeah. And without going into these details of the settlements and all that stuff, but for sure. I mean, Israel is at the center of this Belt and Road project and the New World Order, and in a religious way, and in this whole end time prophecy stuff, and in control of many, many parts of this spectacle.
And we have another caller, Dan in Washington. Dan.
Hey, thanks for taking the call, and welcome to America on the phone, welcome, at least electronically. But I do like Putin. I mean, I do almost consider myself a Putin worshiper at this point. Not really, but I just think when I look at the morally right thing to do, that side is more morally right. And I even side with Iran more, even though I wouldn't want to live in Iran.
Well, I agree. I agree because of what's going on at the moment geopolitically. You know, it seems that'll do the best in our favor, even if, including needing our leaders to collapse for us to be able to rebuild. But at the same time, in the long run, I think they're already compromised to these globalist agendas, if you will, you know, to just say it in a concise manner. But yeah, Charles, you heard my shows earlier. I mean, Dan, I'm sorry. Dan, you heard my shows earlier this week, and you were calling in after I was playing the clip of Sergei Lavrov. And you do also seem to agree. I'm sorry, my mic's hitting my desk there. You seem to agree with a lot of that as well, right?
Yeah, yeah. The RT propaganda gets irritating because it's just, you know, they have to always say they were the good guys in World War II, you know, and talk about the evil Nazis. But Putin has called out the Bolsheviks. He has said publicly that the Bolsheviks were Jewish. I just see our people as evil. I think Victoria Nuland's putting these guys in a meat grinder just to kill off white people. I think we were the bad guy in Syria and in Iraq. It's all for Israel. Even go back to World War II, I look at it now when we weren't really, you know, we had Morgenthau talking about exterminating the German people. So, you know, everything Putin's doing is actually messing up the Jew World Order plan, it seems like, especially with Syria and Iran.
I just know that, at the moment, again, for the reasons I point out, it seems to our advantage to be on their side in the long term. I mean, there is a long term, I think, agreement, you know, with the the BRICS Eurasian world and this Agenda 21, World Economic Forum, Great Reset.
Thing. The BRICS thing, I mean, the world has to have some kind of trading system. So if it's the BRICS system, seems the most fair. Now, that is going to screw us over if the U.S. dollar loses supremacy, but it will also screw over the Jews that run it. So it's hard to say,
I just see that those in power, though, you know, I mean, there are always operatives that they're putting everywhere. COINTELPRO, Operation Mockingbird, you know, these things have never ceased. I mean, I was following the alt-right, including the Swedish alt-right a lot, you know, going back like about, you know, 5 to 10 years ago, especially, you know, Red Ice and all that. And like that around 2014, 2015, especially. And I mean, I noticed how, you know, they had a lot of people there who were trying to get the alt-right into being pro-Russian. A lot of them, you know, like the publishers even of Dugin's works and that, both in Europe with Daniel Freiberg's Arctos Media, and over here with Richard Spencer and his wife translating Dugin. Then you had the Iranian guy who almost became part of Alt-Right Corporation before a falling out. Jason Riza Georgiani. I almost had him for an interview. We did email correspondence. He was on Red Ice and was trying to get the pro-Iranian thing and, you know, the Persian Renaissance. He wanted to bring basically Aryan Renaissance of the history of Iran for a future republic,
right?
Or wait, no, democracy. I bet they were pushing. You know, wouldn't be surprised. But Wilhelm, your comments.
Go ahead, Wilhelm.
Hi. Well, I mean, in the end, it doesn't matter if you like Putin or not, or are pro-Russian or not. I think the most energy would be put in the focus on who is our ally and who do we trust in our just local circle of people, and our home base where we are based, our homes are, you know, where we operate from. And that's, I think, that's relevant energy to put in there and to know who lives there, what people drives, and the allies there are, and have a strategy for things to come, because we are in a collapsing mode. So I think this whole Putin thing or the Trump thing or all this stuff is just distraction. It's interesting, but it is irrelevant. We have to protect our home base on a small scale level as well. And that's already a difficult thing for a lot of us, because we are being chased in a certain way. But so I'll leave it at that.
Well, Dan, you had feedback to me, sir.
Yeah, I mean, even on a local level, the worst antagonizers and enemies we have are basically organized Jewry. It seems like with the forced, you know, the forced vaccination, the lying media, the kid turning your kid into a tranny, like the white genocide on every level. So, like, it's not about getting us to be on Putin or Iran's side. It's just that people legitimately agree with their position on certain things, you know? So it's you end up being on their side, even if you're not, like, really on their side. You know what I mean?
Richard, I agree. Like, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Bill, yeah, I agree. I agree with that. But this whole LGBTQ stuff, this complete immoral, evil stuff, what's happening, is an emanation of cultural Marxist ideology, and that come from somewhere. That has come from somewhere. So this is destroying our civilized, Western white societies from within. And if you look at the work of these KGB defectors like Anatoly Golitsyn or Bespinov, they describe what's happening right now, and that's very relevant also to take into account.
Well, and Putin and Dugin, when I watched that movie, The Wolf in the Moonlight with Dugin, I mean, that's his enemy too. They know about cultural Marxism and they hate it. And they hate the West for keep pushing this stuff. That's what Dugin's stuff.
But his fusion with Marxism and National Socialism or something, that National Bolshevism, early writings of his on that, that really had me with red flags everywhere. But yeah, no, great topic to continue another time. Thank you, Dan.
Thanks.
Wilhelm, great chatting as always. Have a great weekend and speak to you next Thursday.
Okay, no, Rich. Take care.
Folks, please support Republic Broadcasting Network to keep the canary in the coal mine of free speech, Republic Broadcasting Network, alive and well. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on that donate page. Plenty of ways to help keep us going so that we will speak again soon and transcend the construct. Regards.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.